Support for The Morning Show comes from the Carthage College Office of Continuing Studies, providing graduate and accelerated certification programs in education to start or advance a career in teaching. Convenient evening and summer courses are designed for the working adult. More information is available at carthage.edu/grad. Support for The Morning Show also comes from Andrea's, a Kenosha tradition since 1911. A unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. And don't forget about Jack's Cafe. Andrea's, 2401 60th Street, online at andreasgifts.com. And we welcome you to the Thursday Morning Show on WGTDHD. I'm Gregory Berg. We're going to be spending most of this hour talking about kindness, how important it is for us to foster the quality of kindness in ourselves and in others in order to make this world a better place in which to live, in a better community for all of us. And there is something called Kindness Week here in Kenosha, which involves a number of different events designed to foster this quality, to have us talking about it, to have us celebrate it. And we have two people with us in the studio who are going to be talking about actually two different facets of this Kindness Week, Adeline Green and Anthony Davis. Adeline Green is here primarily to talk about her work with the Coalition for Dismantling Racism, which is responsible for, in large part, for sponsoring Kindness Week, including their kickoff breakfast, which is this Saturday morning. And Anthony Davis is one of three trustees for the executive board of the UAW Local 72, and they are the sponsors of a celebration of the work of Dr. Martin Luther King, and that event is going to be a week from Saturday. So we're really honored to have both of them with us for the first part of today's morning show. Adeline Green and Anthony Davis, we welcome both of you to the morning show.
Thank you so much, Greg.
Thank you, Gregory.
Good to have you here. Good to have you here. Adeline, I would love to hear a little bit more about this group with the wonderful name, the Coalition for Dismantling Racism. It sounds like an organization that really means business, if that wonderful name means anything at all. Tell us about the organization, in a sense, who it is and why it was created.
Okay. I'd be happy to, Greg. Thank you. The Coalition for Dismantling Racism is a group that started actually 21 years ago. And it started as a result of an anti-racism workshop that was held at Carthage College in March of 1996. Several community people as well as faith-based organizations were invited to attend this workshop that was called Dismantling Racism. And it was an all-day workshop, and we explored issues of racism and prejudice and stereotypes. And it was quite an enlightening experience for the folks that showed up there. There were, I think, about 60 of us that showed up of all races, ethnicities, religious backgrounds. And we had a very engaging as well as honest conversation with each other about, you know, racism, the existence of it, why it exists, you know, stereotypes. And those of us who were there were very energized by the conversation, and we wanted to continue beyond just this workshop. And so several of us began to meet in the community and plan things for our community, for the Kenosha community, because we always thought we lived in a good community, but we wanted to ensure that it continued to be a great community that did not discriminate against folks. And so we eventually came upon this idea of Kindness Week through our meetings and conversations. And this idea actually was the brainchild of the late Reverend Olin Arrington Jr.
Oh, what a great name.
Yes, he was the pastor of Second Baptist Church for many, many years before he passed away in 2010. But Pastor Arrington had attended an event in Texas. And there was a kindness initiative that was started in Texas. And he brought this idea back to the coalition. And we thought it was a wonderful idea. And so we started planning how we could use this in Kenosha. And we talked, planned, and decided that the Martin Luther King holiday would be a great event to plan our Kindness Week events. And so that's how the whole Kindness Week started.
Right, because nobody embodied that quality better than Dr. King.
Absolutely.
And that had so much to do with what he worked so hard to bring about in our country. So how long ago was it that the first Kindness Week was held?
It was actually held in January of 1997. We had the workshop in 1996. We planned, and in January of 1997, we launched Kindness Week in Kenosha. That was our very first. And this year, 2017, we celebrate our 21st year of kindness in Kenosha. And we are very, very proud of the fact that we've been able to maintain this initiative throughout 21 years.
Very good. So give us some sense of what happens through the course of Kindness Week, aside from the big breakfast that kicks things off in such exciting fashion.
Okay. Every year we plan activities, and some of the activities that we plan are already in existence. For example, the Local 72 event has been around for about 35 years, and so of course we included that as part of our Kindness Week, as well as the Gateway Martin Luther King Celebration, which has been around for about 25 years, and we also include that as part of our Kindness Week celebration. But every year the committee gets together, and we come up with a series of events and activities to celebrate Dr. Martin Luther King's philosophy of tolerance and kindness and nonviolence. And the theme this year, every year we try to use some word that ties into kindness or community, bringing community together, that sort of thing. So this year we decided that our theme would be Building Relationships Through Acts of Peace and Kindness, Pay It Forward. Hmm. One of the things that I should mention is that from the beginning, Kenosha Unified Schools, as well as Gateway, as well as Local 72, has been totally on board with this initiative. We have kind of morphed into a celebration that focuses on students, young people, because they are our future. If we can have them think in terms of kindness and nonviolence and peace and that sort of thing, I think we are building a better community. Mm. And so we always focus on students, and that's what our breakfast does. We give a number of awards at our breakfast for courageous acts of kindness that students display towards other people. And so we're very, very happy when we get the nominations from teachers and parents and community organizations of students who have demonstrated some selfless act of kindness.
Mm.
So in terms of the activities that are taking place, we have 10 days worth of activities planned for this year. And the first event actually kicks off today at lunchtime. And this is a new event that is being held at the Kenosha Civil War Museum. And this event is a reading and a discussion of the I Have a Dream speech by Dr. Martin Luther King. The museum at this point in time has had an exhibit in place since November of last year, and this is kind of the culmination. This week ends that exhibit, and so they are having a discussion this afternoon at noon for about an hour. And the community is welcome to attend, and we're going to share some readings from the I Have a Dream speech and then have a conversation about this. Because the idea, whole idea behind Kindness Week is bringing the community together to celebrate some of the great things that are happening in our community related to Dr. King and his philosophy. And so conversation is generally a large part of what we do. We also, that's today, we also like to engage the faith community in our activities. And so we designate Friday, Saturday, and Sunday as a day that we hope our faith leaders will have a message at their churches, congregations, synagogues about Dr. King and his message of tolerance and kindness. And so we just invite congregations to do that. And we like to be inclusive, of course, and so we understand that some faiths celebrate on Friday, some on Saturday, some on Sunday, and so we designate that whole weekend for Faith Sunday.
Great idea.
And then on Saturday, of course, is our kickoff event, which is our Community Unity Breakfast. And we hold the Community Unity Breakfast in one of the schools every year. And we change schools. This year we happen to be at Epsola. And we are having entertainment provided by the Epsola cheerleaders, as well as the choir. And we had Epsola choir sing for us some years ago, and they sang this wonderful, wonderful song called It Takes Kindness. And that's become kind of our signature song. So we sing that every year, and they're going to sing that and lead that as part of our program. At the breakfast program, we have a number of what we call celebrity servers. So we invite local celebrities to actually serve the food to the people who attend. This year, for example, we've got the mayor, the county executive, the superintendent, the school board chair. We've got the chief of police. We've got a couple of other people who I don't remember who they are, but we've got 8 celebrity servers that will be serving breakfast this year. And, of course, the signature, the main event, is giving the awards to the students who have demonstrated wonderful acts of kindness. This year, we invited students to also do some creative expression, to write some poetry, to create a video, to do spoken word, whatever, you know, tickle their fancy. And we had a number of nominations. We had over 50 nominations come in this year from the schools. And we have a committee that selects the winners, and we have this year 20 individual student winners. And then we have a group that did a wonderful video on acts of kindness, and we're going to show that video during the breakfast. And of course, we're going to give them an award from Reuther High School. About 30 students, actually, from Reuther High School that participated in creating this wonderful video. So the breakfast is going to be a great event, and I invite the entire community to come out to that.
Can you just give us a sense of what kind of acts of kindness we're talking about that will be recognized at this breakfast on Saturday? I mean, just an example of the kind of thing that that will be lifted up Saturday morning.
Okay. And because I'm not on that committee, we have a, of course, we delineate duties, and we have a committee that actually make those selections. So I have not seen the nominations, but in the past, I can tell you that people have, or students, I should say, have stopped bullying of disabled students, as an example. They have done things like collected donations for some of the shelters. And I'm sure this year there's going to be some wonderful acts of kindness like that.
Right. That's kind of my recollection from reading about it, that that sometimes we think about kindness in very narrow terms, and actually there's a plethora of ways in which one
Absolutely.
Can live out one's sense of kindness to others. So,
Absolutely.
And what a great idea to focus on that when it comes to young people, because the real key to a kinder world is kinder young people who are going to build this world.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Now, is this event open to the public, or is it by invitation only?
No, all of our events are open to the public, and I should say that most of our events are free to the public, but some events, because there is a cost to us, there's a cost associated with the event, and the breakfast is one of those events. For our breakfast, the cost is $7 for adults, and it's a very nice breakfast. It's totally worth the money. But we also give the students 10 years and younger breakfast for free, as well as all those people that we are celebrating, the youth awardees, they get breakfast for free. So
that's great.
Yes.
So are there tickets still available, or is this all said and done already?
No, there are tickets still available. Members of the community have tickets, and you can buy tickets at the door as well.
Very good. So. And when does that begin on Saturday?
It starts at 8:30 a.m. Saturday, this Saturday, the 14th of January, at Epsola Edward Bain School of Language and Arts, and the address is 2600 50th Street in Kenosha. So we definitely would love to see the community come out for this. They will thoroughly enjoy themselves.
I am sure. that is kind of the, although you said there's this lovely event going on at the Civil War Museum today over the noon hour, but but otherwise this breakfast, in a sense, serves as the kickoff for Kindness Week. And the culminating event is this celebration a week from Saturday of the important work of Dr. Martin Luther King. And, of course, we've already talked about how he is, in a sense, very much the inspiration for this overall idea. Anthony Davis, you're one of the trustees with UAW Local 72, and Adelaine Green was saying that your UAW celebration of Dr. King has been around for 35 years. Were you a part of that first celebration, or can you otherwise tell us anything about why UAW made the choice to celebrate Dr. King?
Well, first I want to state that I wasn't actually part of that.
You're probably 2 years old at the time, I'm thinking.
Well, with the celebration with Local 72, I'll just state that UAW Local 72 became the first auto UAW auto industry union to negotiate for a holiday on Dr. King's birthday.
Ah.
That was in 1980.
So that's the real connection between UAW and Dr. King, I mean,
right,
in a real official way.
Correct. And we didn't hold our first event until 1981. It was a small event. I remember going to it. It was basically union members.
Hmm.
We met over at the union hall, and they set up chairs, and we had a little observance. Basically, our union leadership did all the speaking at that time. And, and we just mingled for a little while to where it's grown to where it is now, 35 years later. These men and women that were part of this, a majority of them have gone on, and I would like to say I appreciate what they've done, because, like I said, they set the blueprint, I believe, for a lot of different organizations and companies throughout the United States to celebrate Dr. King's birthday.
Mm, very well put, and it's great to see that 35 years later, this event is still in place. You have quite a list of illustrious guests that are going to be on hand.
Yeah, we kick it off. I'll first say our keynote speaker will be Congressman James E. Clyburn. He represents the 6th District of South Carolina. We also have our U.S. State Senator here from Wisconsin, Tammy Baldwin, will be in attendance. She will be introducing the congressman Saturday, and also we have Wisconsin State Senator LaTanya Johnson will be speaking, and also we have the Tony Evers. He's the Superintendent of Public Instructions here in Wisconsin. He'll also be in attendance. He'll also be on the program.
Very good.
As I said, our theme this year is faith is taking the first step, even when you don't see the whole staircase, which is a quote from Dr. King. So our program is Saturday, January 21st. Dinner starts at 5:30. The doors will probably be opening at about 4:30, 5 o'clock. The address is 3615 Washington Road. Tickets are $20 for adults, and children 12 and under are $10. So, and tickets, we want to try to sell the tickets in and out on the 16th. It's open to the public that wants to come and enjoy this program. It's been a great program, and I just hope to see everyone out to attend this event.
Very good. You were telling me that you and your family moved here to Kenosha from Arkansas when you were 4 years old.
Yes.
And you had a real sense that your parents were seeking out a better life for all of you. At that point in time, and you were grateful to be here. That being said, it was not always easy, even in a place like Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Correct.
And I wonder if you can kind of say a word about the kind of changes that you have seen in this community when it comes to some of these issues in the time that you've lived here.
As a young man, I was very naive to a lot of things when we first moved here, because the environment my parents grew up in, they grew up in an all-black neighborhood, went to all-black schools. And when we came to Wisconsin as a small kid, my first experience with interacting with people from different races, I didn't have that opportunity. So it was new to me. But I developed a lot of friendships. with some of the kids I was going to school with. But I also noticed there were some differences as to how I was being treated from home to home. As if if I was in a black home, I would be treated one way, but if I was in a white home, I just felt a difference of how I was treated as a kid. And as of today, most kids don't understand why they're being treated differently because of their race, creed, or nationality, or religion. And I didn't understand that until I got to be about a teenager, what was actually happening.
Hmm. You said that over these years, you have definitely seen tremendous growth and improvement when it comes to some of these issues of all of us getting along and understanding one another.
I've seen it, and Ms. Green can attest to that, where in a lot of different places where minorities are being given opportunities in jobs, and I can think back to at American Motors, minorities were forced to work in the foundry, and that was really a big thing, you know, when a lot of the African Americans were able to come out of the foundry to work in other parts of the factory. It just shows you how things have changed. Now we're able to go into the workforce in so many different capacities.
Hmm. Adeline Green, what is your sense from the years that you have lived here in terms of progress made versus progress that needs to happen, still needs to happen?
Mm-hmm. I've lived in this community for 26, almost 27 years. I came here from Indiana. And I came from a community right outside of Chicago called Hammond, Indiana, and it was a very diverse community. And 27 years ago, coming to Kenosha, that was not the situation. And so there was kind of a culture shock for me when I came here to Kenosha. And over the course of the almost 27 years that I have been here, I have seen some progress in terms of people who are moving into the community from other places. There's much more diversity here than when I came 27 years ago. I was probably one of two or three people of color who worked for, I just retired from Kenosha County government. Mm-hmm. And so I was one of a handful of people who worked here. And over the course of time, that whole thing has changed. There are many more people of color working in this community, living in this community. It's a much more diverse community. And I'd like to think that it is a inviting community. It invites diversity and difference. And hopefully the Kindness Week initiative has contributed to some of that. We still have lots and lots of work to do. We cannot, you know, rest on our laurels. But I have seen much positive change in this community in the 27 years that I've been here.
When it comes to something like Kindness Week, one of the things I kind of wonder about as you think about what to do and what kind of events to have is that it's one thing to have an event where you're, in a sense, talking to people who are already kind, versus what's probably the harder work of trying to foster kindness in people who are not prone to be quite so kind or for whatever reason. In other words, kind of building kindness in places where it does not yet exist or in hearts where it does not yet thrive. Do you and your committee members talk very much about that sort of facet of this and about that really hard work?
Right. I should say when we formed the Coalition for Dismantling Racism, that was one of our main focuses is, you know, identifying, you know, racism wherever it exists in the community and eradicating it through conversation, through activities, through bringing people together. In our beginning stages, we had many community forums where we brought people of all opinions together to talk about various things. As one example, when the 9/11 event happened, there was a lot of anti-Muslim sentiment. We actually had a community forum where we brought some people of the Muslim faith together to talk about what was really happening with, you know, the Islam faith, and to inform and educate the community that just because a person is of a particular religious belief, that does not make them a terrorist.
Right.
And so over the course of time, we've had many conversations. And that leads me to this year's, I didn't complete the event schedule for Kindness Week. We got the bookends, the Unity Breakfast, as well as the UAW Local 72 event.
Right.
But another important event that we are having on Thursday, January 19th, as a matter of fact, is a courageous conversation. Every year we try to have a conversation where we bring the community together to talk about a difficult topic.
Hmm.
And our conversation this year is about Black Lives Matter.
Wow.
As you know, there's lots of controversy, lots of conflict about this whole initiative, but there's not much conversation taking place about why this is happening, why this movement. And so we're going to try to bring the community together, just to have an honest and frank conversation about the whole Black Lives Matter movement. And so that is taking place, as I said, on Thursday, January 19th at 6 p.m., and it's going to take place at the Kenosha Civil War Museum, 5401 First Avenue in Kenosha. And we've got two moderators. One is a member of our committee. Her name is Rochelle Anderson Moore. And the other facilitator is Roseanne Mason, who is retired from UW Parkside. And so they are the planners of this event, but the idea is to engage people in honest, open conversation about this whole movement. Whether you believe in it, whether you're a proponent, whether you're an opponent, come to this conversation, see if we can get some understanding as to what this is all about.
Wow. That just speaks exactly to what I was talking about, I suspect that there are groups that exist that are not interested in or fully willing to engage in those kind of difficult topics.
Mm-hmm.
And your group is.
You have,
and it sounds like right from the beginning. I mean, right from the from that first workshop experience that you had where you used the word frank more than once in terms of those conversations. So it's like that has been a hallmark of your coalition right from the start.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the idea, as I said, is just to bring people of different beliefs, different opinions, different cultures, ethnicities together, because we have to live in this world together. We have to try to understand one another. And in being understanding and kind and caring, you know, hopefully we will get to that beloved community that Dr. King mm-hmm. dreamed about. And I think we're closer now than we were during his generation, of course, but we still have lots and lots and lots of work to do.
Right.
And so the coalition wants to keep this conversation going. That's the start of the conversation, but the idea is we're going to have monthly conversations about various difficult topics that need to be addressed in our community.
Hmm. I love the name Courageous Conversations, and Anthony Davis was nodding his head vociferously as you were. So I suspect you appreciate that as well and maybe even have vivid memories of some of these past conversations.
Well, I've gone to a few of the events throughout the years, and it always enlightens me because there's always something new that I learn, like I said, here in this community about different people in the community here. And I think, as you say, it gets contagious after a while. Like I said, for the past 9 years, I've been working down at the courthouse. I'm probably one of only a few minorities that have been employed as a bailiff in the courthouse. If there was one before me, I don't know. But I think all of this stuff has opened doors for all of us, you know, to communicate with each other. These events, like I said, you may not agree with them when you first walk in the door, but once you leave, it opens your mind up to a lot of different things, how people act and how people are and how they live their lives and why they do some of the things that they do.
Right. And sometimes what is behind what somebody might do or what somebody might say.
Yeah.
And just trying to understand
because
what it's like to walk in someone else's shoes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because some people, the way they're raised, this is why they say things and do things, because it's been a generational type thing. And as they say in the Bible, they may be what they call a generational curse. You know, these things go on and on for years until you really dig down deep inside and find out, hey, what caused people to be the way they are? And once you get down to the bottom, you can figure it out.
Absolutely. Because I like to add, Anthony, that once again, we don't want just the choir to come to these conversations.
Right.
We want people to engage in very honest and open conversation around these very difficult topics.
Right.
Excuse me. 2 years ago, our courageous conversation was on the Voting Rights Act.
Mm.
And so we had both the choir and people who were not in the choir attend this meeting. And it was enlightening for all of us, trying to convince people to our way of thinking and them trying to convince us to their way of thinking. Because a lot of people believe, even today, that racism does not exist. This is all, you know, coincidental. It just happens for various reasons. And so, you know, that conversation that we had 2 years ago about the Voting Rights Act and why it came to be, we showed a short video about the students who went to Mississippi and, you know, were beaten or killed or whatever. And some people didn't know that even happened. And so it's kind of a history lesson as well as,
right.
You know, how can we move beyond where we are? How can we move and make this community better and, you know, eradicate, you know, the racism, the discrimination that does exist.
Right. And, of course, in some respects, we feel like a more divided nation than ever. I mean, at the moment, it seems to me that one of the hidden values or benefits of some attitudes sort of rising to the surface and being spoken is that maybe allows you to have some of these courageous conversations.
Yes.
I mean, if certain attitudes or prejudices or misunderstanding or misassumptions remain, in a sense, beneath the surface, they're never addressed.
Right.
Absolutely.
And it's as though things are being said out loud in the moment, mm-hmm. in this moment, that potentially, at least, can start some of these conversations.
Absolutely. And, you know, the idea behind kindness is that we want people to have civil conversation with one another. Nobody is right all the time. Nobody has all the answers to everything. But if we can at least have a conversation and try to gain some understanding of the other person's perspective, I think it makes us all better.
Right. I remember so vividly the in the wake of the terrible tragedy in Ferguson, I remember going through the drive-thru at Taco Bell on the south side of Racine and being waited on by a young black man in the drive-thru window who actually said something about, so what do you think about what's going on in Ferguson? Asked me, I mean, a complete stranger and a white guy.
Sure.
And we ended up having this amazingly lovely exchange of about a minute and a half right there in the drive-through of Taco Bell. And I could just sense that this young man, very articulate and obviously very thoughtful, was just in that moment of pain for really all of us, was just hungry to reach out to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
and hoping to find somebody who would be sympathetic and in a sense sharing his sorrow. That was a really powerful moment for me. I think it helped me realize or not be less inclined to take for granted those moments of connection between strangers who might at a glance seem to have nothing in common.
Absolutely.
And we need to build these connections.
Build these connections because, you know, there's commonality that exists within all of us. And having the conversations, the difficult conversations, at some point, hopefully we reach that point that we have some understanding that there are things that we all want. We all want, you know, a good life for our families. We all want to be loved and cared for. We all want to be recognized, you know, for the good things that we do. We're all human. And so if we can connect that humanity, then hopefully that will be displayed in other ways, and we can once again build that community that Dr. King dreamed about. And so, you know, some of the things that we do during Kindness Week, some of them are, you know, niceties like mm-hmm. the breakfast and awarding the students for their acts of kindness. But we also recognize that there is a responsibility to recognize and to identify some of the things that are not so good about our community or communities in general, and then work on fixing those things. So,
right, and not shying away from the deep challenge.
Yes.
Well, let's give you both a chance to remind our listeners about what they should do to get more information. Anthony Davis, with your event that is the culmination of Kindness Week, the celebration of Dr. Martin Luther King at UAW headquarters on Washington Road a week from Saturday night. What do people do if they think they want to be part of this celebration?
Gregory, I'm glad you asked that because I missed that when I first spoke. If you need tickets for our program, you can call my home, talk to my wife, Donetta, area code 262-948-3381.
262-948-3381.
Correct. She's there waiting for folks to call and pick up tickets or mail out tickets, whatever they need by that time. And like I said, we want to try to cut off the ticket sales by the 16th. Because as you know, you got to figure out how many folks are going to be there so you can feed them.
That's right. We want to have enough food for something like that.
Yeah. And also to let folks know, if we have any proceeds from the program, we always donate it back into our community to as many nonprofit organizations as we can. Because, like I said, Local 72 has been a pillar in the community over the years. And we've always, you know, done what we can to help our community out. And we, you know, we just want to continue that. Like I said, it's been a legacy to see what we've done, even with the plant closed. Local 72 is still part of Kenosha. And we're going to continue to do those things that would and enhance our community.
Very good. That's good to hear. Anthony Davis, one of the trustees for the executive board for Local 72 of UAW. And Adeline, remind our listeners about how they can get more information about all of the things going on for Kindness Week, including your breakfast this Saturday.
Okay. Anthony reminded me that during Kindness Week, throughout the events, we collect donations of non-perishable food items as well as toiletry items that we donate to local food pantries. So at our breakfast, we collect them. At each one of the events, we collect donations from people, and we deliver them to the local food pantries in the area. Hmm. But the breakfast, tickets are $7 for adults. Children 10 and under are free, and the tickets will be available at the door. We guesstimate how many people we think will show up there. But if people need tickets, I'm selling tickets. But our main contact is Stacy Busby at KUSD, and her direct phone number is 262-359-6172. I want to, if I may, continue with some of the other events that are taking place during that week, because I started with the breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
On Monday, Gateway Technical College is having their annual Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. celebration at Madrigano Auditorium. And their theme this year is The King in You. And their speaker is David Bolton, state representative out of Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. And that's a free event, and every year it's a very well-attended event. You don't have to respond in advance. It's open to the community. It starts at noon. The doors open at 11:30, and there usually are well over 500 people that attend that event. So I advise you get there very early if you want a seat.
Right. And I just, if I may interject, if people are not able to attend in person, that's something that we broadcast. That is WGTV broadcast.
That's
so
wonderful.
You can hear the event, but it's, of course, even better to be on site and experience all the excitement for yourself.
That is wonderful. And then on Wednesday, the Urban League of Racine and Kenosha is having a Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. celebration for lunch. They're having a luncheon, and that luncheon is going to be held at the Italian American Club. The address is 2217 52nd Street in Kenosha, and there is a price for that. The luncheon and program cost is $16 per person, or you can purchase a table for $115, a table for eight people. The contact for the Urban League event on Wednesday, January 18th, is Yolanda Adams, and her number is 262-637-8532. So they would like to know in advance how many people are attending that event. And then Thursday, I mentioned that we're having our courageous conversation about Black Lives Matter, and this is an event sponsored by the Coalition for Dismantling Racism, and we have two moderators, Rochelle Moore and Roseanne Mason, and that will be held at the Civil War Museum here in Kenosha, 5401 First Avenue, and the contact for that is Madeline Carrera at Gateway, and her phone number is 262-564-3138. And then I also want to mention, not only on Saturday are we having that annual Dr. Martin Luther King Local 72 event,
right,
but Gateway is sponsoring this year, this is new this year, a day of service, a day to show your kindness and put it into action.
All right.
We like to put our words into action, and so there are a number of community projects that need to be done by volunteers, and so we're looking for volunteers to come and help out our local community-based organizations. And you can sign up or get more information by visiting the Gateway website, gtc.edu/MLK, or once again, you can contact Madeline Carrera at Gateway, and her phone number is 262-564-3138. And we hope we get lots and lots of volunteers. It's an event that is similar to the United Way Day of Caring, which takes place later on in the year to kick off their campaign. But we thought we would ask people to demonstrate their kindness toward others by volunteering at a community-based organization this year.
Terrific idea. And, of course, I suppose one of the most important purposes of that is not to be extra kind in this particular week of the year, but to be kind all year
all
long.
All year long.
Yeah.
We like to start the year with kindness. We like to end the year with kindness and every day in between.
Very good. Adeline Green is with the steering committee for the Coalition for Dismantling Racism. And, of course, their kickoff breakfast is this weekend. And, of course, there are all these other wonderful events going on, culminating in the Martin Luther King celebration a week from Saturday night at local UAW. Adeline Green, Anthony Davis, great to have both of you here on the morning show. Thank you so much for all that you do in our community. And we wish you well with everything stretching ahead for you. And thank you again for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gray.
Finishing out the hour, you're going to hear just a couple of minutes from an interview I recorded with Maria Contacasino, the author of a book called The Forgiveness Project, which gathers together some amazing stories about forgiveness, sometimes forgiveness given under the most difficult of personal circumstances. Here is the opening of our conversation.
Yeah, well, I mean, I suppose as a journalist, it starts with an idea. And then you start asking people working in the field of reconciliation and conflict resolution And literally one thing leads to another. So, for instance, I was working in South Africa because the reason I traveled was I used to write for the Red Cross and Oxfam and organizations like that. So I was in South Africa doing another story. So I started asking people if they knew people who'd been through the Truth and Reconciliation Commission there, victims who'd heard the stories of the perpetrators who may have killed their loved ones and perhaps they'd even met afterwards, those kind of stories. And I even got to meet Desmond Tutu. And he said to me, have you heard of this group called the Parents Circle in Israel, where some, you know, people who'd lost loved ones on both sides, Israelis and Palestinians, now work together for peace. So he then suggested that. And that's how it kind of went, one after the other, after the other. And the thing that really always interested me, that I'd spent my 15 years as a journalist trying to persuade people to be interviewed, you know, to have their face in print, image of them. And it was always really, really difficult. Often people didn't want it. But honestly, in the 11 years I've done this, no one has said no to me. And I think that's because there's this desire to help, to share, to heal, to affect change. And these are like transformative stories, reconciling stories. And I think that's why. You asked something else as well, and I've forgotten about, or have I answered that question?
No, you really have. This is absolutely terrific. You ultimately ended up choosing an array of stories that for the most part, are about people, in a sense, rising above their initial feelings of anger and bitterness and perhaps even out-and-out hatred. And yet, not every single story is about someone who, in fact, has come to the place of actually offering up what they think of as full-fledged forgiveness. I wonder, as you began, did you design it or expect it to be a project that would be, in a sense, that ambivalent, or only as the project went forward did you come to realize that, in fact, it would be a richer project, a richer storehouse of stories, if they didn't all adhere very neatly to one happy story after another of somebody managing to forgive a wrongdoer?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I did start off with this simplistic, rather idealized notion of collecting the stories of victims who'd forgiven the unforgivable. And it was quite early on, actually. It was a meeting with a former Ulster Union, well, UVF they're called, the Ulster Volunteer Force, a paramilitary group in Belfast. And he said to me, I don't want to be part of this project if you're saying that people must forgive, because that just re-victimizes them. And it really made me think differently about it. And I thought, no, I don't want to be part of anything that makes people feel they failed if they can't forgive. And there's a real danger of that. There's a whole thing about forgiveness here. Victim heroes, you know, who's more forgiving than others, who deserves an award for being the most forgiving person in the world. And I just find that, you know, rather divisive and unhelpful. And I also thought we need to, or I really wanted to show the messy, slippery concept of forgiveness. It wasn't a one-size-fits-all idea, virtue, whatever you call it. I mean, what is it? That's the thing. It,